Warm greetings to you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles. Turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 5 is the passage for our consideration this morning. The topic is Rejoice in Hope, taken from the phrase found in Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of His most holy and sacred word. Businessman rejoices if, at the end of the year, they do not see red. They see a lot of profit. Teachers, principals of schools will rejoice if the students excel in the examination. Parents rejoice when their sons and their daughters honor them, that they are diligent, they are hardworking, they do well in their studies. And the list would go on and on. Leaders of country will rejoice if they are re-elected, when the economy and peace and prosperity continue to abound. We all know how to rejoice in our hopes, for these are the hopes of mankind. What is your hope? What is that which will give you the greatest joy? The world will rejoice when they encounter material blessing, temporal benefits. But these rejoicing that they long for in their hope is what the world would call the uncertain. It is wishful thinking. Parents wish and hope that their sons and their daughters will be obedient. And when they are lazy, when they are disobedient, when they become wayward, when they fall into sin and they refuse to repent from their sins, we cease to rejoice. We cease to smile. Governments will cry when the economy collapses. They panic. There is nothing to sing about. There's nothing to rejoice in when everything turns into darkness and calamities. Because the hope in material things, they are temporal and they do not last. But this is not the rejoicing that the Bible speaks of in Romans chapter 5. For one thing, the word rejoice in hope is in the present tense. The Bible here tells us that the hope that the Christian rejoices in is right now, is not when your hope becomes a reality in the future, then you rejoice, which is what the world understands, which is what the world would bank on. That which they long for comes to pass, then only will they rejoice, and so they find it very hard to rejoice in the present, unless what they hope for in the future becomes a reality. Then only will they rejoice. But the rejoicing that the Bible speaks of in the life of the Christian, as you find in Romans chapter 5, is in the present tense. That means right now, you and I can rejoice, even though we are rejoicing in a hope that pertains to the future. And this hope that we pertain, that pertains to the future, that we rejoice in the present, is described for us in this manner. It is a hope of the glory of God. It is not something that is of this earth. It is not something that you can hold or touch in your hands today. But because it is the glory of God, the Bible tells us that this hope that we have is not wishful thinking. The hope that we have is based upon a certainty. And the certainty is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because the Lord Jesus Christ Himself had risen from the dead, and He had been given a glorified body, this is the certainty of our hope. And that's why the Bible says you and I as Christians can rejoice in the present. It is not wishful thinking. And that means that every Christian, when they wake up in the morning, every day there always should be a smile on our faces. And by the word rejoice here is more than just a smile on our faces. The word rejoice here is a rejoicing that is to be broadcasted to the whole world. It is like someone who is shouting out loud, declaring to the whole world that I am a happy Christian because I have this hope. A hope that one day I will receive the glorified body, a glory that is characterized by God's nature. That's the meaning of the glorified body. A body in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 described in this way as spiritual, as powerful, as eternal, that the disease of this world cannot touch. Not even death can afflict this glorious body that we have. And God said, as a Christian, this is guaranteed. And so when we think of our faith and our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, we think of this ultimate climax of our salvation, which is glorification. And the Bible says this must bring into our life more than just a smile, but a great rejoicing. Are you happy this morning? Are you surrounded by aches and pains as you grow old? Are you surrounded by the cares and the wares of this life? Are you surrounded by problems and trials and difficulties? At home, in school, in places of work, in the church, in the Bible college, there seem to be no end to our problems, isn't it? And yet God said, despite all these, right in the midst of all these, Christian, you rejoice. You rejoice because of the hope of the glory of God that we have, guaranteed, awaiting everyone who is truly born again. Because this hope is based upon our salvation. An act that must have taken place in the past, in your life and in my life, as you can see in verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith. It is described in the past tense, where the emphasis is on the act of justification. You have first and foremost to realize and to understand that you are truly born again. Why must I be born again, you argue? We must be born again because all of us are sinners. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul made that very plain and clear, that there is none righteous. Every Gentile is condemned under the heavens. All of us, without exception. For the creation of God speaks in a language, in a voice that is heard day and night, that there is a God, that this God is a powerful God, and anyone who will reject this God, God said, my creation would be sufficient evidence to condemn anyone to hell, and they will be without excuse. God doesn't need to use the Ten Commandments. He doesn't have to use any portion of God's Word, His special revelation. He just simply uses general revelation, and that would be sufficient to condemn every one of us to hell. And then to make sure that the Jews are not excluded, God said, just because you have the Word of God in your hands, just because you are guardian of God's Word, that does not make you a believer in God's Word, simply because you hold God's Word in your hands. And that is something that we must be very conscious of, because we are very much like the Jews. We have the Word of God all around us, because it is so readily available today. You can download from the internet the King James Bible free of charge. Somehow it is a version that it's free, not the other translations. You've got to pay for it. And so we have the Word of God in our telephones. We have the Word of God in our PDA. We have the Bible on our bookshelves. We have the Bible in our car. We have the Bible in our pocket. We have the Bible everywhere except inside us. That was the understanding of the Jews in Romans chapter 2. They have the Word of God, and they thought that because we have the Word of God, we must also have God in our heart, and we are found in heaven. God said, no such thing. If you do not obey the Word of God, if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ from your heart, unconditionally, total 100% surrender, you are no better than the Gentiles. No better than them. All of us are totally depraved. And because all of us are in the same state of sin and condemnation, Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God said, all of us therefore need the same Savior, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that we can receive this Savior is not by works, is by faith. The process of faith, faith in whom? Faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And if you have truly accepted from your heart what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross of Calvary, how He has died for you, that's the meaning of the word justified, by faith. You can stand before God, having received the righteousness of God in your life, in your heart, when you became a Christian. You can stand before God accepted. You are now standing justified before God. It is based upon this action in the past. It doesn't matter whether you are a son or a daughter of a minister. It doesn't matter whether you have gone to seminary or Bible college. It doesn't matter whether you have memorized the whole Bible from cover to cover. If you cannot stand before God justified, you will still end up in hell. You have no knowledge and no understanding of what the Bible here says, rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. It is something alien to you. Because Paul was not talking about some theoretical truth. He was writing based upon his life's experience, based upon what he knew in his heart, to be a fact, to be a reality. Why do you think the great apostle Paul gave up everything, the accolades of the world? Why do you think he gave up his position, where he can at any time open the door of any of the leaders in Israel? He can have audience with these people as a persecutor of the Christians in his old life before his conversion. He took pride in what many of us take pride in today. He took pride in the fact that he was from the tribe of Benjamin. He took pride in the fact that he was circumcised on the eighth day. As far as ritual was concerned, he was clean. He was pure. As far as the bloodline was concerned, the tribe of Benjamin had the first king. He took pride in all these so-called paper qualifications and accolades. He took pride in the fact that he was Pharisee of Pharisees. As far as hard work and diligence was concerned, he was the best in his class. And all these he considered as dung, as refuse, when he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. There was a genuine transformation. And so when he wrote, therefore being justified by faith, he included himself. That's how we know that he was speaking from his heart. He understood this. It is not a salvation that you can see in another person, but it is a salvation that you can see within your own soul. You should know whether this is true in your heart. And if it is true in your heart, why are we not rejoicing? Why are we so easily weighed down by the cares and the trials of this life? That's amazing. That's strange, isn't it? Could it be because we cannot let go the way that the Apostle Paul had let go everything? We are still holding back. We are still lovers of the world, lovers of the accolades of man. And so when we do not get all these things, we get depressed. We can't sleep. We worry. We frown. We walk around with faces like a dried up prune. Right? That's how the Chinese call it, right? Sun Boy face, you know. Every time people look at us, oh, your face is all cringe up. No joy. Open your mouth and they criticism, complain, murmur. Criticism, complain, murmur. Not a word of praise, not a word of thanksgiving. We are so earthbound and our eyes are always downcast. And Paul says, rejoice, present tense. Not just rejoice yesterday, rejoice continuously. All the days of your life. Why? Because we have a hope of the glory of God. One day, if you are now suffering from a terrible disease, you have aches and pains, one day all these will be gone. You're going to receive a glorified body that no disease can touch, no bug on this earth can ever come near. Wonderful, isn't it? Young people do not understand this because young people do not feel aches and pains like old folks. I'm beginning to understand what aches and pains are like. You can't walk up the steps properly. When you wake up in the morning, every part of your body aches, your neck aches, your knee aches, your heel aches. Then very soon, more parts of your body will ache. Right? Old folks? Don't you agree? Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God because you're going to be delivered one day from all these aches and pains. Don't let all these aches and pains weigh you down. Look to the Lord. For young people, it's exam, isn't it? The problem with us is that we fail to relate what my exams, what my results in my exam got to do with my life as a Christian. That's our problem. How do we tie the thing together? What has my salvation, my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ got to do with my exam? I want to get straight A's in my exams. I want to do well. I want to excel. Who doesn't? That's our problem, isn't it? We become part of the red without realizing we are now one of the reds. We may be a Christian red, but we are still a red. And that's our problem. We do not think in terms of what the Bible wants us to think. We know we are safe, but because of our lack of understanding of scriptures, we do not think that Christianity is so practical that every area of our lives must be impacted by it, transformed by this truth. Because now you can stand before God, accept that. You know how wonderful that is? You ask any condemned man who is now waiting on death row to be hung, to be killed. Every day he realizes, with the passing of every day, every moment, it is one day closer to the gallows. And then suddenly, news from his lawyer. You have been pardoned. Especially when such news comes right on the eve of his last day on this earth. How do you think he will feel when he received news that he had been pardoned by the president? Now you can go back to your family. Now you can go back home. Now you can walk around. You can stand in front of a policeman. You don't have to run and hide. You have been pardoned. You are now justified. You think he will still be cringing in fear? Or he will just walk out and then smell the fresh air and look up into the sky? I am now alive again. I thought I was dead. And for the Christian, it is far, far more magnificent and greater than that. And therefore, student, don't aim for the results, please. That's what the old man, old child would do. You aim how you can glorify God and exalt His name through the course of your studies. You aim to please Him. Don't aim for results, aim for scholarship. Don't even aim to please your mom and dad. Aim to please Christ. Why? Because you are a child of God. And that means the entire process of your study life, the diligence that you put in, is to glorify Christ. Commit the outcome unto the Lord. Whether you get A's or B's or C's or D's, it's in His hands. You think in life you're not going to get F's? Learn to experience F's. F's are very good for you. It's true. You mean when you grow into the working world, you're not going to fail? You mean you're not going to make mistakes? All of us will make mistakes. Please understand this. Get used to it. Start in your study life. Start in your school days. Get a few F's. It's good for you. If you need to pray and ask God to give you a few F's. I did. I really prayed for an F and I got one. In my university days. As I was going through it, it was not fun. It's part and parcel. It's okay to fail, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. Please, it is not the end of the world if you get F. It's the end of the world if you do not know Christ, if you bring shame to His name. You think your A's is good if you got it by cheating? You think A's is good if you got it by having a terrible Christian testimony? You think A is good if you compromise your faith in order to attain it? You think that is worth it? You do your very best, you leave the end result to the Lord. If the Lord wants you to get A, you rejoice. If the Lord wants you to get F, you still rejoice because you have done your best. Not all of us can study. We are all made differently. So what if I get an F? Does it mean that I'm less of a person than a competitive person with an A? Because that's our understanding in Singapore. We have a lot of caste system. Like India, they have caste system. Ours is called the educational caste system. Right? We have the gifted program, the super gifted program. I don't know how high you're going to gift them. And then there are those who are in schools that belong to what they call those, in those neighborhood schools. I do not come from this elite. Those who dress in those elite school uniform, they walk with a step that is much lighter, brighter, compared to those who come from schools in the backwoods. Right? So you walk, you straggle, you show people, I'm from this elite school. First class. And then those of us who are from the far, far away distant land and very, very near the places where nobody wants. I say, I did not even use, those old names in distant lands. Far corners of Singapore, because some of us might live in those areas. Not so nice. Alright? They don't even say those names out. Not so nice. In case some of you are from that school, you see? And then you cringe and you walk around. You dare not even go out in your school uniform. You go out with them. I must change my uniform first. I dare not. For those from those big time school, they don't mind wearing their uniform out and then they will straggle around the shopping center with their mom and the mom will be very proud of them too. And then they will talk about all these things whenever their fellowship. Oh, my son got this, my daughter got this. And they all now affects us as parents. True? And we become ashamed of our children. And our children are also ashamed of themselves. You are a child of God. You stand before God justified. And so if I cannot stand before men justified and accepted by men, doesn't matter. God accepts me. I am justified before God because God accepts me now. He receives me, and that makes me so happy. God says, your joy and your happiness must not be measured by the accolades of men, by the rewards of men, by how big your bank account is, by what car you drive, by what address you live in, by where you work. All these things must not be the measure of the Christian. Why? Because you have been justified by God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, God says, you have peace with me. You can stand and you can come to me anywhere, anytime. I will receive you. You have peace with God. You know how tremendous and how amazing that is? Once upon a time, we were enemies to God Almighty. God Almighty, He is our enemy. But no more. We have now made peace with Him because of Jesus Christ. To have peace with Him. We do not know what's it like not to have peace in this blessed land of Singapore. We thank God for the peace and prosperity all these years. But never, never take it for granted. All it needs is just a silly bomb to explode somewhere in Singapore. And you will realize the trauma that we will all have to go through. You live in Israel and you will understand the trauma that many Israelis will have to endure daily. You go to campus in a university, you do not know whether it will blow up at the canteen. You take a bus to a shopping center, you do not know whether the bus will arrive safely. You go to the marketplace, there is nowhere that seems to be safe. No peace in the land, no peace in the mind, no peace in their heart. And that is with reference to what man can do to this body of ours. But God says, because you have been justified, you can stand before me accepted, you now have peace with me. Not only in this physical body form, but your soul for all eternity. You have peace with God. The greatest enemy now is your greatest friend, God Almighty. Can anything be greater and better than that, that should bring thrill and joy into our soul, into our hearts? To know that God Almighty will now receive me anywhere, anytime. If I were to die right now, my God will receive me into His holy presence, because we now have peace, Him and me. And if the whole world hates me, so be it. I have peace with God. And when you stand up for Christ, you better be prepared for the world to hate you. How do you know that? Because the world hated Christ. And He was perfect, the perfect teacher, the perfect life, perfect miracle, perfect in every way. And they still find fault with Him. If there was no fault, they brought false witnesses. And they still called Him all kinds of names. You think it's so bad to be called a heretic because we believe the Bible has no mistakes? You thank God that God counts us worthy to suffer for His name's sake, to be called a heretic, simply because you believe in God's word and not the words of man. Be prepared. The peace that you have with God will be stretched, will be tested. And that's why the Bible continues telling us, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand. Because of this peace, now we can go straight into the very presence of God and draw from Him much strength and much comfort. The world will hate us, the world will despise us, the world will reject us. Doesn't matter, never mind. You stand up for the faith. Continue, come what may. It was not nice to be interrogated by the police for 3 hours. I was called up by the CID because our own church Mandarin pastor reported me to the police for hacking into our own church website. So they called me up, "We need to talk to you. Somebody reported that you did something. Can you come on this day and this time?" I said, "Sure." So I went there. Beginning, it was a little difficult. It was a little strong coming from the policeman. And then slowly, as I start to explain, church member who is a lawyer told me to prepare me to know what to do, what will happen, what will take place. Just be calm, just tell the truth, don't bring anything, just tell the truth. And so I told the truth, start explaining to this policeman who was not a Christian, what is verbal plenary preservation, what is Presbyterianism, what is board of elders, what is the church constitution. Start explaining for 2-3 hours, start explaining from beginning to end. Start explaining. Patiently, whatever he asks, I just answer. Yes, no, answer. Whatever it is, just answer. You get all kinds of attacks. But you rest assured, because you have been justified by the Lord Jesus Christ through the faith that you have in Him. God says, you have now peace with me, and therefore you can come into my presence anywhere, anytime. That's why I pray without ceasing. And God says, I will not push you away. You come to me. I will be there to comfort you. I will always be there by your side. If you have to languish in the darkest, dirtiest, filthiest dungeon, rat infested, your wife cannot be there, your children cannot be there, nobody can be there, I will still be there. I will be there with you all the days of your life. I will never leave you comfortless. And that's why the Bible here says, we have this access by faith into this grace of God wherein we stand. We continue to stand. And that's the basis of the rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. And this rejoicing, the Bible tells us, is not only in sunlight, bright days, in the darkest moment. Because that's where the true rejoicing will be tested, will be revealed. Any one of us can rejoice when you get straight A's. Any one of us can rejoice when we are healthy and strong. Any one of us can rejoice when we have our bonuses, our promotions. Anyone and everyone. Can you and I still rejoice When the Bible says, not only so, okay, not only based upon the fact that you have peace with God, not only when you have entrance into the very grace and the mercies of God, and you remain standing before God accepted, but we glory in tribulations. Now the word glory, by the way, is exactly the same as the word rejoice. Exactly. Also present tense. Exactly the same. No difference. Root word, the same. The word that is used there, exactly the same. Why? To drive home the point that this rejoicing will shine the brightest in the face of tribulations. You know what tribulations are? Please do not call the punishment for the sins you have committed as tribulation. You do not study, you fail your exam, don't go home and tell your mom, I am suffering for Christ because I got F. You are suffering because you are lazy, you never study. The students in the Bible college, the same thing. You get sent home by Dr. Jeffrey Koo because he had given you letter number one to warn you, pull up your GPA, your grade point average. You did not. Another letter of warning, you still did not. And then the third letter, pack your bags, go home. You go back home to your church, I am being persecuted by Dr. Jeffrey Koo. You are lazy, you fail. No such persecution. That's not tribulation. That is chastisement for your sin of laziness. You play the fool, you pay the price. Tribulation means you are suffering for the sake of Christ, for defending God's word, for obeying God's word. That's the definition of tribulation. And you have to remember this. Therefore, you have to be honest with yourself. Check your own heart. They call you all kinds of names. They do all kinds of things, so you check yourself. Is it because of some wrongdoing that I have done? Or is it because you are defending God's word? You have to be very honest. If you are truly honest with yourself and you come to the conclusion that you are defending the word of God, because the word of God is the written word which describes the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the living word. And therefore, to defend the word is as good as defending Christ, because it is through the word that we know Christ. And so because of that, you have to suffer persecution. So be it. FEBC trials and problems will disappear immediately if we stop teaching the doctrine that God has preserved all His words for us. You realize that? We were told that. Everything will fall away, will disappear overnight, immediately, and you can stay as long as you want. A 998 Gilstead Road, where you are right now, if you stop teaching that the Word of God is perfect, if we can't teach the Word of God is perfect, what is the point of FEBC existing? Pray tell. What is the point of FEBC existing where it is? If FEBC cannot defend the Word of God, cannot teach the Word of God, the whole counsel of the Word of God, what is the point? That's tribulation. And God says, you glory, you rejoice in tribulations. You go to school, you stand up for Christ, you do not want to compromise, you will suffer. You go to work, you do not want to compromise, you hold on to Christian principles, you will suffer. There will be people who are your friends, in inverted commas, they will betray you. They will stab you in the back. And all you need to do is to compromise, and all these problems will go away. But you can't. Your conscience will not allow you. Your walk with Christ will not allow you. You can't. Because you have been justified, you have peace with God, and when you sin, this peace with God is gone. You feel so troubled in your soul. You do not have the joy of the Lord because you know you have sinned. You have brought shame to the name of Christ. Unless and until you repent, then the joy of the Lord will come back. And then you will long to be with the Lord because you know you can stand before Him and not be ashamed. You have given your all to serve the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And that's why you can rejoice continuously in the hope What hope? The hope of one day meeting the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving the glorified body, and hear Him say to you, "Welcome home, my good and faithful servant." You know how sweet those words will be to the ears of every Christian? To hear from God Almighty pleasing words, that your life is a fragrance, is a sweet savor to Him. How wonderful. And through this tribulation, God says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. The word knowing means guarantee. Guarantee, okay? Guarantee it will bring forth patience. Patience is perseverance and steadfastness in the face of the greatest turmoil and danger to your life. The greatest difficulty. You remain steadfast. There were many in the past who remained steadfast to the point where they were eaten up by lions, crucified on the cross, burned at the stake, strangled to death, imprisoned. But they remained steadfast. They were unmoved by the threats and the hurt and the harm that were done to their bodies. That's what it means. Because these tribulations are real. The tribulations that we encounter in our country, they are real to us, but compared to what the Lord had gone through, the apostles and the prophets had to endure, it is child's play. But tribulation nonetheless. You study church history and you'll realize that many, many, hundreds if not thousands of them, they persevered to the very end of their lives. There have been accounts of their accounts of how fathers refused to betray their friends, saw with their own eyes how their sons and daughters were murdered, were killed, simply because they held their tongue. They did not want to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And they killed their sons and daughters, and then finally killed them. Tribulations were guaranteed to bring forth patience, that we may learn to endure. Strengthen our inner man in the face of the greatest turmoil. And don't forget, the Lord knows exactly how much we can bear. And that, in turn, the Bible says, verse 4, bring experience. Many of us have theoretical knowledge of a relationship with God, in theory. But this theoretical knowledge must be translated or converted into experiential knowledge. And that's what it's describe here. And it's priceless. You can't buy them. You have to experience them yourself in order for this to become yours, part and parcel of your makeup, of your walk with the Lord. You can read about a person going into prison. That's all it is, reading. You may try to empathize and put yourself in the shoes of the Apostle Paul as you read of him in prison, all alone, in dark, cold, damp, dirty, rat-infested dungeon. But unless you stay there, unless you live in it, it is still theoretical. We may be encouraged, but it is still not classified under experience. It is theoretical knowledge, not experiential knowledge. And there is no shortcut. Patience will bring forth experience. Tribulations, you give up, no experience, because you have given up. You compromise, you allow yourself to be weighed down by the tribulation. But if you endure, you don't give up, you build up your experience. And once your experience with the Lord is deepened and strengthened, come what may, even if you have to stand alone, you have experienced the faithfulness and the goodness of God in your life, you will be able to stand. And we need leaders who have that kind of experience, where they can on their own stand up for Christ. They have a mind. They have experienced the goodness and the sufficiency of God's grace in their lives. Not theory, but genuine, real experience. Do you have them? Or do you run away? Do you throw in the towel and hide? We all need this experience. And then the Bible says, with this experience, the reality of your hope is deepened and strengthened in the process. Look at verse 4. An experience brings hope. Perhaps that's why we do not rejoice, isn't it? The hope that we have of the glory of God is a theory. We run and hide. We do not want to face the battles. Are you prepared to face the battles, or are you going to jump ship? Are you going to resolve in your heart that come what may, you will stand on the side of truth and righteousness? As long as this church stands on God's word, I will remain in this church and I will make sure my life count in this church and be of service to the King of Kings in this church. I will stand on the side of FEBC as long as FEBC stands on God's word, come what may. We do not know what the outcome of the college will be. It is now in the hands of God through the hands of the lawyers. We do not know the outcome, but whatever the outcome, the entire process and journey, we must not bring shame to the name of Christ. Every step must be God-honoring according to Holy Scriptures. Come what may, we know that the Lord is in control. Did the Lord know the end and the beginning of this battle? Surely. The end is already known by Him. He knows... Excuse me. He knows all things. We don't. We live one day at a time, and we have to, by faith, trust in Him. And that's why it is so important to pray. One thing you can do is to come for prayer meeting. Even if everyone doesn't come, you still come. Why? Because it is the right thing to do. Because you want to stand on the side of truth and righteousness for Jesus' sake. If nobody wants to give, you still give. If nobody wants to serve, you still serve. Will there be problems? Sure, there will be problems. There will be tribulations, and you thank God for tribulations, and that's why the Bible here says we glory in tribulations. Remember, we, Paul includes himself here, less in verse 1, as in verse 2. Because he is not speaking from the top of his head. He is speaking from real life experiences. Read his life. Read the persecutions he had to endure for the sake of Christ and for the gospel, for the defense of the faith. He is opening his heart out to us. And did it make him bitter? He was not bitter. He was still full of joy. He was still able to love all those enemies who buffeted him, who hurt him, who stoned him. How do you know that? Because he still continued to go to them and give them the gospel. How is that possible? Because of verse 5. Because hope maketh not ashamed. It will not fail us. This hope will not deceive us. It will not betray us. Why? Because the love of God has been shed abroad. The word shed abroad simply means copiously, abundantly shed abroad in our hearts, poured into our hearts. That even when these people do all those things to us, they lie about us, they put words into our mouth, they buffeted us, they do all kinds of hurt to us, the love of God will keep us from becoming bitter, from becoming angry, from becoming vindictive. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is given to us to enable us to continue to love. For this love of God is called the unconditional, sacrificial, agape love that unbelievers do not have, unbelievers do not understand. And therefore, we thank God for what FEBC is going through. Because through this, we will learn experientially the goodness, the grace, and the mercies of God. And if you keep yourself out of this battle, you will lose the privilege of having these experiences. Because you have kept yourself out, you have ran and hide. But while you are in it, these experiences you're going to have will be priceless. And the moment they come, they are gone, they will not come back. You have to wait for the next battle, for the new experiences to come your way again. In other words, God has put us where we are, put you where you are for a purpose. Find out what that purpose is. God did not save us to put us on the shelf for display. God saved us for service for a time such as this in the 21st century, the battle for the Bible. Don't fail Him. Remain steadfast. And in the whole process, rejoice evermore. With the love of God in our hearts, how can we fail? Constraining us, doing it because of the love of Christ, we do it. For the love of God's truth, for the love of His name, we do it. not for money, not for the accolades, but simply for the love of God. We continue to endure whatever trial and testings and difficulties we have to go through, we will go through by God's grace and mercy. And God says, through it all, rejoice. Be happy. Be happy. There is so much to rejoice in the life of a Christian, because this rejoicing is not dependent upon circumstances. That's the worldly kind of rejoicing, where it is completely dependent upon circumstances, right? When the oil prices go down, wow, we all smile when we drive. When the oil prices go up, wow, long faces. Right? That's the world kind, right? But for us as Christians, it's not to be like a yo-yo up and down, depending on the whims and fancies of the circumstances of the world around us. Ours is based upon the certain fact of a glorified, victorious conquest already attained for us by the Lord Jesus Christ, awaiting all of us on the last day. We have so much to live for, dear friends. You come in here with a heavy heart, you commit all these to the Lord. We have so much to live for as Christians. Rejoice, God says. Be a happy, blessed and a wonderful Christian. We have everything all secured for us in Christ Jesus. A blessed relationship with God, no man can take away. Have peace with Him, stand before Him accepted. No man can rob. No thief can steal. How much? What more do we want? God has given to us everything that we need to live a victorious, rejoicing, blessed and a wonderful life on this earth. And therefore, dear brethren, if you are truly born again and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the only thing that robs us of this joy would be a heart of disobedience and sin. If that is the case, repent and ask the Lord to forgive us. If you are not a Christian, then this rejoicing is not you, is not for you. You have to be justified by faith, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ first. And then your sins will be forgiven. And then you will be accepted by God. And you will have peace with Him. And you will experience the joy of the Lord for all eternity. The decision is yours and mine to make, dear friends. Don't let anyone or anything rob you of this joy that God has given to us. Remember three things that God wants us to do without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Pray without ceasing. And rejoice evermore. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And all these three, they come together. Let us pray. Almighty God, our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for the great and marvelous and complete and wonderful salvation that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For we know that even as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only are we called to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His namesake. And as many of us may be going through very difficult times because of our Savior, help us, O Lord, to remember the promises in Thy Holy Word that we have been justified by faith. And now we have peace with God, and we can enter into His grace, His throne of mercy, and stand and be accepted by Him. Oh, what an honor and what a privilege. And we therefore now have this hope of the glory of God awaiting everyone who have confessed and received and believed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And with this awaiting all of us, we have much to live for we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to serve. May we give of our very best to Him, which is our reasonable service and sacrifice. We pray, Father, for some in our midst who may still be outside Your kingdom. May Thy Holy Spirit bring conviction and cause this person to find salvation and deliverance from the bondage of sin and the penalty of sin, which is hell itself. And thus such a person may also understand and experience what it means to have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. For we ask all these things with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.